When he read those verses, if you can remember back to them, pretty powerful passage. Open it up if you've got it there. Who did you think of when those verses were being read? To me, what Graham was reading in Romans 12 is just the life of Jesus fleshed out, isn't it? And this is the life that we are called to. That's what Romans is saying. And this is the life, not just that we are called to, but this is the life that the Holy Spirit in us is empowering us to live. We might live it imperfectly, but we still live it authentically. We may be a dim reflection, but we're still a reflection of Jesus. Because we believe that Jesus is alive because of his resurrection, if we don't believe that, then what are we doing? But because we do believe that, we believe that Jesus Christ, more than us being called to this kind of life, even more than the Holy Spirit being inside of us to empower us, because Jesus is alive, we believe that Jesus Christ continues to live this sort of life out through our life. That's staggering if you really think about it and think about the implications of that. What is this Jesus life, if you like, that we're called to live? What does a Christian look like? Well, it's certainly not an external thing, in the sense that it's not dress. There's not a particular, you know, Christian dress code or language, terminology, lingo. It's not a particular culture, in the sense of the various cultures around the world. It's not a particular hairstyle. It's not a particular political persuasion. It's not a particular denomination. It's not even which church the person goes to. And at times it's not even if they go to church at all. It is how we live. I mean, that's so simple and straightforward that we often overlook it. Those verses from Romans chapter 12. Look at them again. You cannot live like this. No one can live like this. Only Jesus lived like this. And the only way we can live like this is if Jesus lives like this out through us, through the Holy Spirit. I challenge anyone in the world to live like this, consistently with that. So, if we're thinking about what is this Jesus life that we're called to, what does a Christian look like? We think about, well, how am I living? The question is a Christian's life consistent with their claim? Is a Christian's life the consequence of their beliefs? Because that's really what we believe. It's what we're living, isn't it? We can say all kinds of things, but if someone stands back and watches the way we live, that's a truer way of knowing what we really believe, isn't it? And as I said, that can be very, very humbling. I was going to say something else stronger than that. I can't think what it was. Because we know we don't live perfectly like that, but we are still authentically living as Jesus. And when we aren't, when we don't, we know we are out of step, we know we're out of line, we know we're out of harmony, and we come back to that one that Jonathan talked about before, the one that Simeon led us right early in the service about, our good, good Father. And he picks us up, refills us, and we move on. So Romans 12 and then also Matthew 5 that Joy read to us are describing how we live in a way that God approves of. Because the way Jesus lived was a way that God approved of. His Father looked at him and just loved him, and everything that about the Lord Jesus was perfectly in harmony with the Father. Let's leave Romans 12. Let's go back to Matthew 5. And this whole section here is called, we call it anyway, the Sermon on the Mount. And taken all together, these next two or three chapters are a nutshell, if you like, of the priorities and the values and the practice of what it means to be a Christian. To live a life, again using Jonathan's words, from God's perspective. The setting, of course, in the first few verses is a mountainside. Jesus goes up there, the disciples gather around him, and because it flows straight on from chapter 4, the crowds that have been following, one would know that the crowds would all be there as well. Now, all I want to do today is just get you to have a broad view over those next 10, 12 verses. I want to pick out this word blessing, or blessed, or blesses, or bless, because what kind of life that God approves of is the kind of life that God blesses. And that's the kind of life we want to live. We need his blessing on our life in order to live in not just the way that he wants, but the way that ultimately is going to be the best way to live. You know, if we haven't learnt that by now, we will be learning it the hard way probably all of our lives, because we have to keep relearning it. I keep sliding back into the remedial class in this whole area, that God's way is better than my way. Might be challenging, it might be hard, it might be difficult, but it's better. I'm a richer person. I'm a deeper person when I'm living the way God wants me to live, which is living the way Jesus lived, which is living the way the Holy Spirit in me is wanting me to live. So if he's wanting me to live this way, surely it's easier in the long run if I go with him. Even though that might be taking me into some challenging places, but surely that's easier in a sense to live that way than to live in a way that's in the opposite direction of what the Holy Spirit is wanting me to live. Because there's this internal, you know, struggle that's going on there. It talks about blessed are those who, your translation might say, poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. My translation says, God blesses those who are poor and realize their need of him, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. God blesses those who mourn, for they will be comforted. God blesses those who are humble, so on, all the way down. Such a churchy word, such a liturgical kind of word, this word blessing, isn't it? Oh, bless you, brother. You know, and it talks about in James, you know, what, is it in James or is it in somewhere else where it says, you know, how dare you say that to someone who's hungry and hasn't got enough clothes or whatever, and you just tap them on the head and say, bless you, and then go your way and not have helping them in the way that you could have helped them. That would have been a real blessing to them in that sense. In fact, if we look at the word blessing or bless, it is a really, really biblical word. We find it everywhere in the Old Testament and also even in the New Testament. Sometimes the word's used when someone is blessing someone else. And by that, they are offering approval or encouragement to this person. They're expressing a desire for that person for good to come into their life. When we bless God, and that's the way it's used sometimes in the scriptures, we are conferring to him, or perhaps lifting up to him, honour and worship that is he is worthy of, he is due. So we can Bless the Lord, as it says, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. From the Psalms. For God to bless a person is to confer approval upon them. Even the scriptures use a word that's very akin to happiness and joy and strength, or whatever it is that we need. When God gives to us what we need, that's his blessing on our life. The picture is of people who belong to God, who are already blessed, who are then able to be a blessing to others, or be a channel for God's blessing to keep on going out there. In the Old Testament, often blessings were experienced in a material sense, material prosperity. Jonathan again talked about Job this morning. And we see the end of his life. He received back a lot of physical things that he'd lost in the early part. Health, all of those sorts of things. In the New Testament, the whole area of blessings is more a spiritual prosperity rather than a material prosperity. It may involve a material prosperity, but we are not to then work backwards like Job's friends did, that when material prosperity is not there, or the blessing of a family, or the blessing of no harm coming to us, must therefore be seen as God not blessing us. It's not that picture at all. It's the picture that whatever we go through in life, God is blessing us. Even if all we can say is that he's blessing us by giving us the power and the strength to endure what it is that we're going through. But if he didn't bless us with that, we would not be able to keep on going. Ephesians tells us that we're blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus already. And so, if that's our perspective, then we are more able to not just be grateful for those and aware of those, but more able to overflow into other people's lives. There's an interesting verse in Acts 20 where Paul's reminding them about something that Jesus said, but it's not actually recorded in any of the Gospels. But he says to them, remember the words of the Lord Jesus, that it is more blessed to give than to receive. Blessed with every spiritual blessing. And again, God's been saying this to us today in our service. We know whose we are. We know who we are, and we know whose we are. That's a blessing. We don't have to prove ourselves. We don't have to, stand up and strut. We don't have to become something in the eyes of others. We already are in the eyes of God, his precious child. We know who we used to be is not who we are now. That's a tremendous blessing. And we know that who we are now is not who we will be tomorrow or in the years ahead and in the eternity ahead. That's a blessing. We know that we have the strong one within us who can make us strong. That's a blessing. And we know that our everlasting Father loves us with an everlasting love. And as that fills us, the knowledge of that, the realization of that, what a blessing that can be to others that are on the road. And that's what Jesus is saying here through all these things that, again, we've given it a churchy kind of word, the Beatitudes, verses 3 through to 12. We might unpack that if it seems as if that might be a good thing to do over the next few weeks, maybe one by one. But I just today wanted us to be thinking about this term blessing. But I want to give a final word of warning that's in this passage that sometimes we overlook. And again, it's because we think so much of the term blessing in a material way, in a physical way. Okay, we've already said God approves of the life which walks in the footsteps of Jesus. Okay? No one can argue with that. Think about, though, where did Jesus' footprints take him? Where did Paul, who was walking in the footsteps of Jesus as a Christian, just like you and I, where did Paul, by following Jesus' footsteps, finish up? And even these lovely words of the Beatitudes, which is seen as Sunday school teaching sometimes over the decades, where do these lovely words lead? Down to verse 10. God blesses those who are persecuted for doing right, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. Verse 11, God blesses you when people mock you, when people persecute you, and when people lie about you, and when people say all sorts of evil things against you because you are my followers. And that means, because you are walking in my footsteps, if that results in these things happening to you, then that means God's blessing you. And you can count on that. The fact that three verses are given to this, when only one verse at a time for all those other things is there, I think is important. It's suggestive, isn't it? That perhaps the more normal for us as we are walking in the footprints of Jesus is that more and more, and perhaps more increasingly as we become more like Jesus as we're walking in his footprints, we will be more treated like Jesus was treated. Verse 12 says, be happy about it. Be very glad. One of the other translations, I think it's Luke, says, leap for joy and kick your heels up in the air, roll on the floor and rejoice. Here he just says, be happy about it, be very glad, for a great reward awaits you in heaven. And remember, the ancient prophets were persecuted in the same way. So living the life that Jesus lives, allowing through the Spirit Jesus to live his life out through us, in a world like ours that is at enmity with God. Let's never forget that. Might most probably definitely get us into trouble. It might get us into trouble with ourselves. It might get ourselves into trouble with our family. It might get us into trouble at work with our colleagues. It might get us into trouble at university. It might get us into trouble with our friends. It might get us into trouble with the government. It might get us into trouble with society just in general, because we are not walking in step, because we are walking in step with Jesus. But even here, even in those times, what does it say? God's blessing you. Or if your translation just says, blessed are those, well, that means you're blessed. Even in those situations, and isn't it in those situations that we really need his blessing? Of course it is. Just here, in that place, in the reality of that place. And the reason people might be saying all kinds of evil things about us, Maybe because things are not going well in our family. Things may not be going well in our marriage. Things may not be going well with our teenage or adult children. And even Christians sometimes can say evil things about us in those situations. But you haven't got enough faith. You didn't raise those kids right. You don't eat enough. You eat too much. All kinds of things. It can be evil. It doesn't just have to be some, horrible non-Christian who wants to, shoot us against a tree. It includes that, of course, but in our shape and our world, we have a church in a general sense, Christendom, which is in the West so focused in. They can't see. It's just in those places that we need his blessing. And it says that God blesses you when people mock you and persecute you and lie about you and say all sorts of evil things against you because you're my followers. We're following in the steps of Jesus. I cannot begin to imagine Imogen's family. But there they are in that situation. They believe, as you and I believe. And yet, whatever happens, we cling to him, knowing really that he is holding us. And even if emotionally we could let go of him, he will never let go of us. So, in those times, we need God's blessing so that we can retaliate, so that we can call down the almighty power of God and zap those people that are saying all kinds of evil things about us. Romans 12 says no. We need God's blessing so that we will not take revenge. We need God's blessing so that we will continue to bless. Let's stop there. As an example of that last little bit, which I thought was only going to be a few minutes, but as an example of that, let me just read a bit of scripture from 2 Corinthians chapter 6. It's a longish passage, but to me it just fleshes out everything that we've been saying. Verse 3 of 2 Corinthians 6. We live in such a way that no one will stumble because of us, and no one will find fault with our ministry. In everything we do, we show that we are true ministers of God. Now understand, that's not talking about the minister. That's talking about us, the servants, all of us. There's Jesus, and then there's everyone else. There's no hierarchy. Verse 4. In everything we do, we patiently endure troubles and hardships and calamities of every kind. We have been beaten, been put in prison, faced angry mobs, worked to exhaustion, endured sleepless nights, gone without food. We prove ourselves by our purity, our understanding, our patience, our kindness, by the Holy Spirit within us, and by our sincere love. We faithfully preach the truth. God's power is working in us. We use the weapons of righteousness in the right hand for attack and in the left hand for defense. We serve God whether people honor us or despise us, whether they slander us or praise us. We are honest, but they call us imposters. We are ignored, even though we're well known. We live close to death, but we are still alive. We have been beaten, but we have not been killed. Our hearts ache, but we always have joy. We are poor, but we give spiritual riches to others. We own nothing, and yet we have everything. Let's pray. Loving Heavenly Father, our simple prayer Because we stand with empty hands in need of your blessing, we pray that you might bless us, that we might be a blessing to others. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.